just want to tell you, recently I met a fascinating woman with an incredible story of challenge and overcoming. And, you know, with all that news out there that's negative and anxiety-provoking and fear-based, Laura has a story that's courageous and it's inspiring, and it's about the triumph of the human heart. And I desperately wanted to share her story with you. So please give a warm welcome to Laura Lindwall.
I want to thank Reverend Jan for allowing me this opportunity to come and share my story with all of you today. And the more I do this, the more I still stand back and I cannot believe that this is all unfolding as it is. 10 years ago, I was called to share my story for the first time. And when I completed it, there was a lot of emotion and a lot of fear, but there was also a lot of connection. And I'll explain this story in just a moment. And I remember thinking, I'm never going to do this again. Too much. It's too much on my heart. It was very vulnerable. There was emotion. And yet, here I am. So, I was teaching yoga. I've been teaching yoga for about 20 years to high school students. And this is how I have spent most of my life, in this type of environment with regards to clothes. And it is about my story of living outside of this stature and into my life of no more pockets, which is about revealing my story of being born with a birth defect and the years of hiding the truth of who I am and learning to slowly open up through courage and fear and vulnerability to live the truth of who I am, and hopefully through my story encourage others to be able to do the same in their life. So in that moment when I was teaching, one of the students had said, wait a minute, I want to know what happened to your hand. And I brushed him off. I was like, no, yoga time. And I thought, oh, they're just being high school students, they're just trying to get out of yoga. But they wouldn't let it go. They stopped me and said, no, we want to know what happened to your hand. So I said, oh, I was born with it that way, and tried to leave it at that. But they wanted more. And so I thought, oh, yeah, what do you want to know? How and what was it like? And what did you experience, especially at our age during your high school years? So I thought, okay, I'll share. And the more I shared, the more they wanted to know. And by the end of it, some of them were weeping. And I thought, what is this about? I was really amazed. And then some kids came up to me afterwards and they wanted to share their story with me about they too had experienced in their own lives their version of my story, No More Pockets. They had been hiding things and keeping things within themselves that they knew were the truth of who they are. Two stories. One girl had shared with me that she had been an award-winning artist in her community. The principal had asked her to paint a mural on the high school. She did, and when she completed it, he told her it was atrocious. It was the worst piece of art he'd ever seen. He was going to paint over it, and he sincerely felt the need to tell her, I would question whether or not your artistic expression is the way and the part of who you are that you should express. So she had been shutting it down. That was it. No more competitions expressing herself. And she said to me, my artistic expression, my sense of creativity is as innate and inborn in me as your hand is to you. And all of a sudden I started to get a little bit of a picture about my hand being an expression of what everybody feels at one point in their life. Other kids then came up and had shared their versions of being teased over the way they dress or how they chose to express themselves, and to avoid that, they shut that side of them down also. So a teacher came up to me right after that and said, I gotta tell you, I think this is your calling. And that was what I shared with you. I said, no, I'm not ready. And yet, I loved the connection I felt with each other and with these students. So life went on. I continued to teach more. And probably through the last 5 years, more and more opportunities came to me about to share the story about my hand. And more I started to see that what I thought was my story, what was making me feel scared and vulnerable, is everybody's story. There was not one time that I was not called to share my story that someone didn't respond back to me, "I know that feeling. I know what it's like." And the connections continued. And the opportunities, as they continued to flow to me and to grow, started to become less about me and more about this, more about sharing and connecting with each other through vulnerability and fear of those things that make us different. I choose now to say the word unique because I believe in the word different. There tends to be a separation that we feel from each other if we feel we are different. And now I choose to say unique because in the word unique, I believe there's a connotation or a sense of specialness about us. There's defining moments in our lives that I think offer us the opportunity of which road we are going to follow. My first defining moment that I remember of putting my hand in my pocket, believe it or not, was in church. I was raised Catholic. 5 brothers and sisters. And it was that time of sign of the peace. We would all be lined up in our pew, and we turned to offer the sign of the peace. The person in front of me turned. They saw my hand, and they refused it. And they went past me to my sister. Hand in the pocket. Second one I remember is junior high. Rough years, right? So much fear in junior high. And I remember walking down the hallway and hearing not once, but several times the whisper of, "That's that girl. That's the girl with the hand. That's the one." And I thought, oh, I don't want to be that girl with the hand. Hand in the pockets. Which was funny because my other defining moment had been up to that point as a competitive gymnast. I had been doing gymnastics, tumbling, and then competing in the USGF. Had been in the gym my whole life from the time I was a little girl, 6 days a week, hours at a time. And what I started to have these thoughts of was, isn't this funny? When I'm in the gym and competing with able-bodied gymnasts and training, I'm just one of the girls. I was not cut any slack. And yet when I come into school in this other environment, I'm no longer accepted. And I started to feel the pain. I'm thinking, what is going on here? And what am I going to do? This isn't going to change. I can't do anything about this. I remember my coach had said to me one time, this is going off on just a little bit of tangent, but it talks about fear. When we were learning our new compulsory movements, he would have an elite gymnast show it to all of us girls so we could see it, get the big picture in our mind. And then he'd have us sit and visualize it. And then we would take it one step at a time. We learned the new bar routine. And I would fall. One time I had the wind knocked out of me. So I laid on the mat. If you fall off an apparatus, you have 30 seconds to get back on. So I'd get up and I'd do this for a while and I'd mimic pain. And he'd say, "You're not hurt. You're afraid. You're not hurt. You're afraid. Get back up on the bars." It was profound in my later experiences of moving through fear and getting right back up there. But one of the defining moments on a positive note that came to me that made me realize it was time for change, I was in high school. And It was coming back from summer break, early years. I can't remember if it was sophomore or junior year. But there had been students who, like me, had been teased and ridiculed, who had been able to do something about it, and they came back that following year. One had had a nose job. One had lost weight, right? One had replaced glasses with contact lenses, right? And I saw a difference. I saw a difference in how they carried and they moved themselves down the hallway. It was completely different. There was a sense of confidence, a sense of relief and release and acceptance. They were no longer being teased. And I remember seeing it. Again, it wasn't just one, it was several students. And I went home and I sat on my bed and I looked at my hand and I started to sob. Because I thought, this is not going away. I cannot change this. But I want what those students had. I want to know peace. I want to know acceptance. I want to know the joy that they now felt and exuded. Now, in this defining moment made me realize you're going to have to start living your truth. And it was hard. I remember having my mom go and buy me new pants. I had to have nothing with pockets because this had become so ingrained, it had become such a habit that I knew the moment uncomfortableness or unease set in, I was going to put my hand back in my pocket. So I said to my mom, I got to get over this and you got to buy me new clothes. And she did. And there were still other ways to hide it. I could hide it in how I carried my books. But what I started to feel was a sense of ease. I thought, I'm so done with worrying about what I'm going to wear every day. And the truth always came out. And it started becoming more and more uncomfortable because the better and better I got at hiding who I was, I could fool people for weeks and make it look very easy and very natural. And when my hand did eventually come out of the pockets, right? The truth will always reveal itself. Now it was almost worse. Now the exclamations were like, oh, I've known you for weeks and I've never noticed your hand. So I thought, okay, this isn't doing this. I'm not fooling anybody. On a deeper level, what I started to pay attention to was what I have come to know now is if we are made in that higher image of God and he resides within, I was shutting down my connection to source. I have felt energy my whole life. My mom said I have spoken about angels since I was a little girl. And when I was hearing these exclamations from students or these proclamations, and the ease maybe I felt in first initially putting my hand in my pocket, there was something else that was making me feel more disconnected than the difference of my hand. And I'm convinced it was the disconnection I was feeling from source. There was a pain in my heart I could viscerally feel. And what I started to see was when the pain becomes greater than the fear, we let go and we start to release as best we can. It is a step-by-step process. I'm still dealing with it in all levels. I had a coach, a speaking coach, see me on video, not even a year ago, who said, you still lead with your left hand. What hand do you shake with? And I said, I shake with my left. He goes, why do you shake with your left? I said, because it makes people uncomfortable when they have to, right? And he goes, no, it doesn't. It makes you that way. I think it does go back to those years of being rejected when I would put my hand out. But he said, you're still finding your way with no more pockets. What happens when you lead with your left hand? I said, well, they always look, and it's weird, because then they're turning their hand weird, and they don't know what to do. He goes, don't you think they notice it? Yeah,
They
do. No more pockets. But to this point, right here, oh, I can tell you what this is about. Probably 15 years ago, one of my best friends and I were out, we were running, and I was talking about, I'd been teaching yoga, and I was a trainer, and I felt very safe with her. We're still friends to this day. And I was talking about God and manifesting and law of attraction and source and my angels, how they talk to me. And she said, "For God's sakes, Laura, stop. You're already blonde. You're a yoga instructor and you grew up in California. You start throwing this nonsense in, people are going to think you have lost your mind. And you're sounding weird. Stop being weird." Yeah. And I did. I thought, well, I don't want to be weird. Right? Pockets. So for the past 10 years or so, I didn't share it. I would still read Abraham, spoke to me as clearly as if I had known Abraham my whole life. Right? Source, God, love. I've been called a Pollyanna. You live in some world. My own sister has said to me out of love, it must be nice to live in this world you live in. It is. It's really nice because it's full of joy and love and acceptance and connection to source. It's when my heart and my head together are find that coherence. Do we know about coherence? Right? When the energy of the heart and the energy of mind are working together, and you're not hiding or shutting down anything. You are living in that source that flows within each and every one of us, and you are coherent. And that is a great place to be. I'm not shutting that down anymore. Right? What? So these last couple months, I've had opportunities to speak in both high schools. Again, my goal is to I'm just going to share it globally, a global speaker sharing the many messages of No More Pockets. I was in a corporate setting and a school setting. And again, I have speaking coaches who are there in attendance to help me continue on this path. And one of them said, at each time, because I get wound up, right, and we find that coherence, we find our heart and our head moving together, and we want to share the joy, and I start just tapping in to spirituality and love and all these things. And they have said, you can't go there. Stop. Don't go into that area. You're going to lose them. So I went home and I said to my husband, I want to speak how I want to speak. I want to speak if I'm moved by spirit. I want to bring in God. I want to bring in angels. I want to bring in source. I want to bring in connecting through heart and mind and body and soul. I've known that my whole life through yoga, through the mind-body connection. I've known that in what I have been drawn to study and to share. And I have seen the connection that happens when we open up to it. I want to speak from the heart of who I am with No More Pockets. And dang it, I find Jan. All of a sudden, I get this calling, this urge, unity comes through me. I thought, what's this about? Unity, I don't know, but I'm going to check it out. So I Googled Unity Churches near me. I came and I met with Jan, and I don't know why. I just wanted to find out about Unity and meet Jan. And the next thing she says, would you like to speak at the church? And I thought, wham, that's how it happens. This is how it happens, right? We open up to what we are being led through source, through our heart to do. And we then stand back and we allow. So this No More Pockets is about the continual evolution of living our lives free in who we want to be. The truth of who we are, not just physically, but emotionally. How we choose to share it with the world. This is just how I do it. Through the spoken word. But haven't we all heard a song or read a book? Or seen a piece of artwork that has moved us to know a sense of truth or joy about us? Each of us has that within us. And I think the greatest thing that I've been given is this feeling of being born different. What I once called my birth defect, I now believe is really my gift, and I believe it's everybody's gift. Everything that makes us unique and special in our own right is meant to be celebrated and shared. I just want to end this, that someone once said to me, so what are you selling? What are you selling? I said, I don't know. Do you have a book? No, I don't have a book. Well, who's going to want to come here? You don't have anything to sell. But no, but maybe I can, just in our stories, my story and your story, just in the living of those and sharing those with others, that's all we really have to do here right now. And then just allow the unfolding of that to connect us to each other and more importantly to the best that we have within of us. That is my story. That's all I have. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
Didn't I tell you she had a great story? You know, I was sitting back there thinking, what do you have to sell? What about a No More Pockets workshop where we all delve into those things we have been hiding, but part of us that is incredibly unique and a gift to our world? We need to talk. And it's a message that needs to get out there. And any way I can help, I'm here for you, kid. So thank you for being with us.